It's not morbid, right? It's good on Mother's Day to remember the mothers who aren't here.
Oh, absolutely. It's a celebration, if you will. Yes.
A celebration that they're gone. No, hang on. Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That's not right at all. No. I'll erase this.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 284, The Widow's Voice. Our good friend Matthew Croak blogs every Sunday for a website called Widow's Voice, a website dedicated to examining the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of life as a widowed person. It's part of a larger organization called Soaring Spirits Loss Foundation, and on this Mother's Day, I asked Matt to talk about the joys and struggles of keeping alive the memories of mothers who have died, specifically in his case, his lovely Lisa Croak, the mother of their three girls.
Widow's Voice is started by a woman who lost her husband, and she started this foundation, and she now does a Camp Widow where people, they go to San Diego one weekend, go to South Carolina another weekend, and 7 days a week, she has one blogger pick each day of the week, and I am Sunday. I am Matthew Croak Sunday. So every Sunday, I get to write about my experience and what I'm going through at the time, and each one's going through a different phase. Some people are dating, some people are newly widowed.
One thing that's fascinating to me about this website is that I, who have not had a loss like this, can understand what you're going through. I mean, it seems like you're our way into understanding what you're going through.
Yes, and the woman, we just had a conference, and the woman who runs this, she described it as falling into the Grand Canyon. You climb out, you get to the top, and people pull other people up. Because I have a lot of people say, you know, it's been 3 years. Are you over it? Have you moved on? I mean, moved on is a very difficult phrase.
I don't think that's a thing that happens,
well,
is it?
And I have so many thoughts. Right. It's almost like clown college. I went to clown college back in 1988. Do I clown right now? No. Do I put on the makeup? No. But I'm a clown. That's my training. Right. I have been a clown.
Once a clown, always a clown.
Once a clown, always a clown. I am not going to be a widow. Am I going to move on? Am I going to date again? Sure. But you take what you've been through and you use it for who you are now. And it's frustrating because a lot of it is good and you hate that you're going through something good that was something really, really bad. And so my voice is saying, it's a lot of people, I worry a lot of people think, oh, you're still holding on to it. It's not that I'm still holding on to it. I'm trying to give a voice. I like the term widow's voice. I'm trying to give a voice to what the experience is like and the journey to what it's like, because you go through this thing, it's a game changer. I mean, it's a game changer. And one blog I did was called Spider Cracks. And it's all the ancillary things. It's not as simple as my wife is gone, I feel lonely, or someone has died. You have outside relatives. You have kids you're dealing with. You have extra laundry. There are so many outside friends who don't talk to you anymore, you know, because they think they don't know what to say. I wish it was as simple as I'm sad, I miss my best friend. It's not as simple as that.
Right.
So it's not that I'm stuck being a widow. It's not that that's what my identity is. But I got to tell you, you know, when Lisa was, you know, passing and she's sitting looking at me saying, hey, you got to take care of these girls, you remember that. And I've got to take care of these girls. So blogging has been a way for me to try to give a voice. And I get there are some good responses that you hope to get. Oh, my gosh, I'm going through that too. Or thank you for saying it like that.
Well, if I could just share a personal reaction to your essays. Almost every week, my personal reaction to your essays is just one of anger and rage.
Yeah.
Because every week I you find this metaphor, whatever it is, the cracked window where the crack's getting bigger, or there's an earthquake coming, or there's a ring. I'm going, ooga, ooga, metaphor alert. And you know where this is going. And you always turn it around in the last couple of sentences into a place where I wasn't even considering. I mean, just not only what you're going through as a dad and a widower and a father. Notice how I said that?
Yeah.
You're also doing this as a writer. I mean, as a piece of written communication, as a bit of prose. It's just maddening that you're getting so good at it.
Yeah, it's been it's been a good process to actually write it down and to you know, rewriting. I never thought I would enjoy rewriting so much, you know. And you know, I used to just
making it better.
I used to be one to have an idea and go, I got another idea. I gotta keep moving on. But to get something and to shape it and to form it, and I, without trying to sound preachy, but I have made a choice to try to learn from these experiences. And really, if you're not going to learn from it, what's the point? Unfortunately, I see a lot of other people, widows, who get stuck in, I didn't want this, I didn't ask for it, I didn't want this, I didn't ask for it. And it's like, okay, but you have it. Now what do you do with it? And so I try to bring in what I'm feeling, put it in context for everybody, and then what does this mean? What's the bottom line of this meaning?
Well, you're trying, I mean, it just seems like they help you process your own. They're not just essays where you're telling lessons. You're making discoveries. It seems like too.
Well, and some of them you may hear people go, "What's the big deal?" But the one that you're talking about, the ring, the widow ring. I said, and it's not a real ring. I could compare the widow ring to the Lord of the Rings, the ring.
The ring of power, the one true ring.
The one true ring where the kid puts it on and you can have all these powers and you know you can use it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always found difficult and that when going through this, people would allow me to just act like a jerk. And they said, "You're allowed. You know, go throw a tantrum. You're allowed. Throw things at the wall. You're allowed." And I go, "Well, no, I can't. Well, you know what? Just go off to the movies. Leave your kids." And even when I couldn't travel through the Shakespeare Company anymore, someone called me a martyr. "Well, you got to take care of yourself." I'm like, "No, I think I have to take care of my children." Well, because no one wants to see me like this. And I get that they feel uncomfortable that I'm going through such a difficult. I say I'm miserable but productive, and people don't like that. Yeah. You got to be happy. Well, what's happiness? We can get into that later.
I'll deal with happy. I'll get happy later. Yeah.
And so you have this ring, this widow ring, and I feel like I can put it on at any moment and just do what I want, act the way I want, and people go, "Oh, he just lost his wife. He's raising three kids. He's allowed." Well, I don't want to be. That is not a fun,
right?
A cushion to fall on, because if it's easy to fall on that and just make excuses, and before you know it, I'm not being productive. I've dropped out as a father. You know, the girls are growing up, and I'm not listening to them. My job is suffering. That's not a ring I want to wear.
Right.
But when you are able to do that, it is so tempting to say, and then you find yourself at the grocery store. And you are experiencing, you know, a mismatched coupon just like everyone else. And you can go, "You know what? My wife just died. Oh, God. Oh, have the peaches for free." And you could do it. I could probably do it. You know, or something's happening with the girls. They just lost their mother. Oh, my goodness, here's a cookie. And you can do that. And I don't want to do that.
So that's awesome. You're holding it together for the girls. But when they go off to college, look out, world.
Look out, world. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. I do. There is a light at the end. Listen, they're only going to be this age once. You know, they're only going to be this age once. So my fear is that if I drop out now, I'd have two regrets. I can deal with the regret and the sadness of losing Lisa. I can deal with that. But if I drop out, and in 10 years I see that I was completely distant and they're all teenagers and they're all I can't, that would bother me.
Hi, I'm Kay Titchener. I'm Austin's mother, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSE? This spring and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K., including cities like Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Peterborough, Canterbury, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Basingstoke, Crawley, where we hope to meet Lord and Lady Grantham, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London, returning to the Arts Theatre. And for a short time only, the Arts Theatre in London is selling a reduced number of tickets per performance for the special London Olympics 2012 price of 2012. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Can you talk a little bit about this Widow's Voice organization and the conference that you just went to? Because it just seems like a really cool sort of gathering of like-minded folks.
Yeah, Soaring Spirits Loss Foundation is the name of the organization, and she has that. They have a Widow Village, which is like a big chat room board. They have the Widow's Voice.
Online.
Online, sorry, yeah. Thank you. And then they have the Widow's Voice, which is 7 days of blogging, seven different bloggers, one's Australia, you know, from all over, all over the world. And then they have a Camp Widow twice a year, one out in San Diego and one out in South Carolina, which we just had. The one in San Diego will be in August. And it's basically everyone to get together, and it's equal parts moving on. It's equal parts reflection. We had a formal on Saturday night where we all got dressed up in, you know, suits and formals, and she made an announcement, no slow songs tonight, which I thought, oh, good for you. That's right. That's perfect. And we danced and we drank, and then at 11:30 at night, we wrote notes. We had a little rock shaped as hearts. We wrapped up the notes, and we all walked out right on the ocean. I was a little worried that it was going to be Woody Allen's interiors, you know, just keep going.
Keep walking.
But it was interior. It was that little bit. The references, the woman at the end just walks out into the ocean, and we all walk towards the ocean. We spread out, and she gave us glow necklaces so we didn't get lost. So everyone glowed, and we just threw our rocks right in the ocean. Everyone just hiked up their pants, and it was great to see people dressed to the nines just walking out in the ocean. They don't.
Well, this and grown ups, old people,
saying, you know what? This is my. I don't care what if my pants get wet. I only get dressed up very rarely these days. This is it, and we threw it out. Real nice moment. So there's a lot of that, real good moments. And she had a great keynote speech. She said, listen, us being here, we're going to change the minds. And not only are we here for us, but anyone who meets us, people in the hotel, people from out, anyone who meets us will say, wow, you guys are widows? Yeah. And it will change the mind that when someday they have to go through the loss, it's difficult, yes, but you can do it. You can have a life afterwards, because there is this contradictory guilt of, I don't want to do anything anymore, but yet your spouse would want you to.
Yeah.
Can anyone be married or love someone ever say, well, when I pass away, I want you to do nothing but wallow and sit in the basement? Yeah. You wouldn't want that, yet we're stuck. We feel guilty, and it's such a contradiction. And again, that's where the writing, hopefully, to put words to it, you know, get out there. There's so much sadness, but there's still things to be learned. There's things to do. And the irony is you respect your partner more when you do go out there. Right. And it's just such a hard, hard concept to get your head around.
One thing I love is that, you know, yes, Lisa's gone, but she's not gone.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in these girls.
Yeah.
She lives in our memories. You know, I was talking with, you know, I'm every now and then I'll be reading a book going, oh, I got to call Lee. Oh, yes, right. Because Lisa and I used to talk about books.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. So it blows my mind that people want to not talk to you because she's gone, or pretend that she was never around. That kind of denial is foreign to me.
Well, we can go in so many different directions. I had a friend talk to me about Lisa, and at the end he apologized. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to bring her up. And I think I'm like, we're not talking about the night I was in Vegas with hookers. This is my wife. I'm proud of her. What are you apologizing for? This is Lee. I'll talk about Lisa all night. You know,
what was that weekend like? Well, though?
Yeah, that weekend. Oh, okay. Well,
now that's a podcast.
That I'll apologize for. I wonder if a lot of it is, from what I see, I wonder if a lot of it is people projecting. I sense that a lot of people see the sadness and they talk to me, and even though I'm doing well, clearly it's very difficult, and I think they go, oh my gosh, what would I do?
Right.
And so many times I hear people say things, and I feel like saying, I'm sorry, this is about you, isn't it? This isn't about me, right. And I'm happy to do that.
Yeah.
But you can just go, oh my God, how do you do that? You know, oh, don't you just, you know, run away and listen to Barry Manilow and drink wine all day? I'm like, okay, this is no longer about me.
Right.
Let me guess, you like Barry Manilow and you like wine, because that's not my style. But I think you know.
Right.
So I wonder if a lot of that is, you know, well, you got to go out there. I think they're afraid. Like, well, how would I handle this?
Well, and that's right. I mean, you're going through what you're going through, and we all went through our version of the loss. Obviously, it's not as going to be as great as yours,
right?
And we all try to figure it out, and that's why I love reading the blogs, because not only do I get a sense of what you're going through, but I get it helps me to understand what you're going through, and it helps me go, oh yeah, right, I get it too.
Yeah, and I've had you know, my brother Kevin has said stuff like something came up, or I think a friend of his passing. He goes, well, now I know, Matt. Now I know to mention. Like, I was afraid, should I mention the name? I absolutely mentioned it.
Right.
You know, I said one of them was called She Who Shall Not Be Named. And
yes.
Obviously, off the Harry Potter, it was Molly's first day at school. And the principal or the teacher said, I told her about Lisa, and she was very nice. And she said, well, don't worry, for Mother's Day, we can do grandmothers, we can do all that. And I was very nice, and I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
And I put my hand on her shoulder. I said, you know what? you can give her a Mother's Day. She has a mother. She's just not here. You know, it's okay if she writes Lisa, does a Mother's Day card. We can cope with that. She, her mother's just in heaven. But don't, you don't have to, you know, pretend like, oh, we'll do grandma. Right. You can, she has a mother.
Yes.
We're good with that.
Yes.
And I think the teacher felt relieved, like, oh, good. You know, because she didn't know. So I get the complexities of it, but hopefully that's what I try to do in the writing, and why I try to, you know, do a quick anecdote or a metaphor and then say what this is all about. And that is, and like you said, the writing process has been very good. You know, Elements of Style and Redux Shakespeare Company have been two big influences because I read some of my earlier stuff where I ramble. I'm like, reduce, keep it short. And Elements of Style is get rid of unnecessary words, you know, get rid of really very, you know, the one paragraph and Elements of Style. It is very bad to really, really put this stuff in. So it's been good to kind of find those good sentences. And, you know, writing that good sentence, when you have a thought of what you're feeling and going through and you write that sentence and it resonates, it's like, yeah, that's, I got it. You know, and it's just something nice about getting it on paper for others to read.
That's it for this week's Redux Shakespeare Company podcast. Check out all the bloggers at the Widow's Voice blog. Just Google Widow's Voice. It should be the first link that pops up. The blogs there are funny, wise, cathartic, and moving, and you can find out more about Camp Widow, the Soaring Spirits Lost Foundation, and information about how you can become a part of their community. Send us your memories of mother or best friend via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Redux Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, the voice of his generation, or at least a voice of his generation, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to June Marriott. It's no reason. It's just random. Special thanks to my mom for her blurb from the beyond. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener. 284, 850 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Oh, and to the lovely Dee Ryan, my wife, the mother of my children, and the woman who insists that she never, ever snores, on this very special Mother's Day, I leave you with this. This podcast is a production of the Redux Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.